preach for us. He's graciously accepted that request from Pastor. So come on, Brother Tim, bless us with the Word of God.
Thanks, Brother Steve. Well, you know, when I'm not standing up here speaking, and that clock gets to be 6 o'clock, I'm thinking, come on, let's get the service started. But when I'm up here speaking, I'm thinking, what's the hurry? Take your time. Sing another song if you like. It's been a while since I've been up here. I think it was back when Pastor went to Papua New Guinea, whenever that was. That was months ago. So it's been a while. I'm glad to be up here. I wish it wasn't when the pastor's sick, though. But anytime he asks for help, I'm not the one to tell him no. So I'd be glad to help out when needed. And tonight, I want to talk about something that happened to me here in the last year. I actually wrote this, I'm going to say last July, August, something like that. I wrote it, and then I shelved it. I put it up in the closet on this top shelf. I don't know why. I just left it there. I hadn't forgot about it. But then when the pastor Friday asked if I would speak this evening, I figured, well, okay, I'm going to get that out, and we'll talk about that. It's just something that happened to me that kind of rocked my world, as it were. And sometimes, you know, the Lord wants to get us out of our comfort zone and learn a few things, and which I did. I learned a few things over that ordeal. But before we get into there, before I open us up in prayer, who's running the computer? Titus. Okay, would you go to Psalms 19:14? The pastor talked about this, and I just wanted to briefly say this, Psalms 19:14. He talked about this last week. He had this verse up here. And so Monday through Saturday, actually I had to work Saturday, Monday through Saturday, I thought about this verse constantly throughout those 6 days at work. And before I said anything, or as I started to think something, I thought about this and I said, I wonder if that's going to be acceptable to the Lord. It's just been a blessing to my heart this last week. And I let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I told the pastor Wednesday night that it was just a blessing. And I just wanted to tell you all that we could save ourselves a lot of heartache and grief if we were to think about this before we start to think about something in our hearts, or we start to say something with our mouth. If we just ask ourselves that one question, is it acceptable in thy sight, O Lord? It stopped me from saying a few things, and it stopped me from thinking a few things throughout this week. So I just wanted to point that out and let you know that that was a blessing to me. And I know the pastor's watching, and it has just been a blessing to my heart this past week. I want to start out tonight, though, in Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. Yeah. Before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house here this evening, Father. And we just ask that you would lift up our pastor. And it's just not the same without him standing up here, Father. And I pray that, I know his heart is hurting. He wants to be here with us. And I pray that you'd encourage him. And Father, give him the health and strength he needs, lift him back up. And just be with him in a special way this evening. We thank you so much for him. And forgive us when we take him for granted and all that he does for each one of us in here. But Father, and just encourage him tonight. And Father, as we open up your word, I just pray that you would teach us from your word here tonight, remind us of a few things from your word here tonight. And I just pray that we would trust in you in every situation in our lives. Just place our faith in you, for you can do all things. There's nothing impossible for you. Father, I just pray that you would bless this service tonight, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so I'm going to read this verse first. wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Then it goes on to say again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, so we're looking at May 2023. May of 2023 of the Friday afternoon. Lunch just got over. Owner of the shop comes in and says, we're letting you go. You're letting me go. I've been working since I was 18, and I was 63 last year when that happened. 45 years, 4.5 decades, I've never been without a job. Not even one day. I've switched jobs, but I've never been without a job for one day in 45 years. And all of a sudden, I am out of work and 63 years old. It was, you know, I didn't know what to do. I had a lot of thoughts on what to do. We talked about moving. We talked about moving out west. We had nothing to keep us here. So many options. Do I retire, draw Social Security, and just find a piddly job someplace? And we had no idea what to do. I'd never been in that situation. My whole world was rocked. You know, I think of all you young men out here that go to work every day, and you don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, Brother Steve, how long you been there?
40 years.
Yeah. You just don't know what tomorrow holds. But one thing's constant. The Lord is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But when you're going through that, it's easy to say the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. But when you're going through it, you wonder where the Lord is. Lord, why did this happen to me? Been working 45 years, never been without a job. But it did. It did. And, you know, I'd get up every morning, Monday through Friday, and we're going to get into it here, but I got to set the stage for you. What led me to write these things back in July or August or whatever it was? You know, I'd get up every morning, Monday through Thursday. I wouldn't go look for a job on Friday. Nobody can't get a job on Friday. People are thinking about the weekend. She'd tell you, I'd go out in the mornings, and I'd come back with a pile of sometimes paper applications, or I'd come back and they'd say, you got to go to this website and blah, blah. And we'd spend the afternoon filling these applications out and submitting resumes online. And I'd do that. I did it for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, finally, I had some job offers. You know, I had Lighthouse Foods in Lowell. Some weird shift. Work 3 days, get 2 off. Work 2 days, get 3 off. You'd have to miss every other Sunday. It was the second shift. There's no church Wednesday night. So I left there thinking, well, you know, Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That can't be what the Lord would have for me, right? So I didn't take that job. Then Ventra down in Ionia, they wanted to hire me for production, being in their welding department, robotics. Robotic arms come in and spot weld and whatnot. And slimy old greasy pit down there. And that was second shift. And again, they had these weird hours, that 3 days on, 2 off, work 2, get 3 off. And I'm like, man, that can't be right. Well, while I was down there, ran into a guy I knew. He says, what are you doing here? And I said, looking for a job. I'm looking for a job. He says, what are you doing over here? I was in the, you know, the robotics department. I says, I'll get in the tour. And he says, you're not working here. You're going to work in the tool room. I said, I am. And he says, yeah, come with me. So I went with him. And he showed me the tool room. And I thought, man, this is worse than the robotic room. This place is terrible. I mean, these great big transfer tools that weigh many, many, many tons. and you're putting them in and out of the press, and you're working on them in the press, and it's greasy and it's dark, and it paid a lot more than working on the line. It paid a lot more than what I'm making now where I'm working. And I thought, man, that's not what I want to do. The hours, they still have to miss every other Sunday, and you have to miss Wednesday nights. And I was driving, and then I got a job offer from Greenville Tool and Die that pays more than where I'm working at right now, too. And I turned them down. But on the way home from Ventra, I was just talking out loud to the Lord. I was in the truck by myself. And I says, Lord, where are you at in all this? It's going on 3 weeks. And I says, what's your plan? What's going on here? I haven't got a job offer that doesn't go against your word. So I was confused, and I went home, and I started reading the Bible. And I come across this verse. I wasn't looking for it. I well know this verse. We've read it, I don't know how many hundreds of times, but I wasn't looking for it, wasn't even thinking about it. But I come across this verse, not knowing what to do, wondering where the Lord's at, and it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I just knew the Lord was talking to me at that moment. And I'm telling you what, it was like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. Just wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, that wasn't a couple days later, and Merson called. Tina says, Merson's on the phone. You want to talk to him? And I'm thinking, I don't even know who Merson is. I put in applications at places where all I seen were cars in the parking lot. I figured, well, okay, they hire people. I'm going to go check it out. And so I says, yeah, I guess I'll take the phone call. Like I said, I didn't know who Merson was. Well, come to find out, they're the old graphite company over there off Van Dyne's. And they said, you want to come down for an interview? And I said, yeah, all right. So I went over there. Again, when I'm going there, I have no idea what they do. And so I went in there and I talked to them. Oh, this is the graphite company. Okay. Now I know where you're at and I know what you do. Okay, so what do you want to talk about? And they wanted someone in their inspection department. And they laid out everything. And then they said, well, we'll let you know in a couple weeks. I didn't get home. And they already called. And I only had to drive three-quarter miles. And they already called and said, you have the job. Can you come back down? Come back down? I was just there. Okay, so I'll come back down. So I had to weigh between Greenville Tool and Die and Merson. It came down to those two. And I've been in Tool and Die for 45 years. I wanted something different. I thought I did. And so I took the Merson job. It was the lowest paying job out of all of them. But if that's what the Lord has, then I'm good with it. I was praying while I was working down in how come I can't think of the name now? What town was that? Yeah. Granville. I tried to forget about the whole place, and apparently it's working. When I was working down in Granville, the drive's awful. In the mornings, other than taking almost an hour to get there, the drive wasn't too bad because the traffic wasn't too bad. I'd go in early enough to where I'd beat the traffic. On the way home, it was terrible. It'd take you sometimes an hour and a half. I'd send her pictures almost daily of me just stopped in traffic on 131. It was terrible. So I'd been praying to the Lord that he would, give me a different job. It's funny, though, when we ask for something, and the Lord hears us, and he answers our prayer, because we don't get it instantly, because the Lord doesn't tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you're done with this job, tomorrow you're going to start here. Okay. No, it doesn't work that way. He answers prayer, and we get all bent out of shape because we don't know what's going on. Is that lack of faith in the Lord? That's exactly what it is. It's a lack of faith. Notice with me in Daniel chapter 10. We'll start in verse 2 and we'll go down through 14. I got to tell you though, before we look at this, Jesse came over today for lunch, and Pastor preached on these verses. He used these verses while he was preaching, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. And I was thinking it was David, not Daniel. So that's why all my Google searches for David never produced anything. So eventually today, even though the pastor's sick, I had to text him and say, hey, there's David prayed a prayer, and it was several weeks before the Lord got back to him. Where do I find that? I can't find it anywhere. And he said, well, I don't know about David, but Daniel did. Okay. You know, when you're in doubt, go to the source. The pastor knows. This is Daniel now. And this for 3 weeks he prayed. We're going to start in, I'm not even there, so I'm going to trust Titus here to get us through there. We're going to start in verse 2 and go down through 14. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So Daniel's in prayer here for 21 days. He's in prayer. And the Lord is not answering in those 21 days. Okay. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, O man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. See, right there, since the first day he started praying, the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And then verse 14, now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. See, his prayer wasn't answered instantly, but that doesn't mean the Lord is not hearing your prayers. It doesn't mean the Lord is not hearing my prayers when we pray to him and we want an answer instantly. We're not a patient people, by no means. I mean, patience doesn't come easy to me. Waiting, if we go back to Psalm 27:14, waiting on the Lord is not easy. It's not easy waiting on the Lord, because we want to solve things ourselves. We want to solve the situation. I wanted a job yesterday when I was with no job. You know, I was off work for exactly a month. I lost my job May 17th, and I started at Mersin June 17th. And I got to tell you, I could have enjoyed that month off a whole lot more if I'd have known what the Lord was going to do. If I'd have known June 17th you're going to start work, we could have had a good time for a month. But I had no idea. Just as Daniel was praying for 3 full weeks, and he needed an answer, wondering where the Lord was in all of that, the Lord said, I heard you the first day. I heard your prayers. And just and the same with us. When we pray, we don't get an answer right away. The Lord hears us. You know, his word tells us he hears us. And there's lots of verses we could go to. But when it's real, and we're in the midst of that, it just comes down to faith in the Lord. It comes down to our trust in him. What were Paul and Silas? If we go to Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Acts, I don't know why I bother turning, Titus will be there before I am. Acts 16, 25, 16, 25. Now remember, Paul and Silas are in prison, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What were Paul and Silas doing while they were in prison? They were waiting on the Lord. They were just there waiting. What were they doing while they were waiting, though? Prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, while I was waiting on the Lord, I did a whole lot of praying. I can honestly stand up here and say, I wasn't singing any praises unto God. Never entered my mind, to be honest with you. But that's what Paul and Silas were doing. They had complete trust and faith in the Lord. When you read this here, do you get the idea? I hate to say it because they're shackled and they're in the prison, but they're happy. Do you get the same feeling? I do. They're happy. Why? Because they know the Lord has their back. They're trusting in the Lord and they're waiting on him. They're not trying to, how are we going to get out of here? How are we going to escape? No, they're just waiting on the Lord. I needed to learn how to wait on the Lord. And there was there's lessons all the time. It's Paul that says he learned how to be content, right? How did he come about learning it? Did he read it? No. He went through the trials. He went through the experiences in his life, and he learned. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. You learn through the experiences. That's what I learned on that month off, is how to wait on the Lord. That's the title anyway. I don't know who puts the title on that live stream, but it's waiting on the Lord. So what we want to look at here tonight, and we better get started, is how do we wait? How do we wait? I wish we back. No, let's go back to Psalms 27:14. I, in my human flesh, wish wait. I say on the Lord. I wish that meant jump on the couch, put your feet up, and do nothing. Just wait on the Lord. I mean, I'd like to try that sometime. I can see Tina coming around the corner. What are you doing? Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. The yard needs to be mowed. Sorry. I'm waiting. I guess you'll have to mow it. You're not waiting. I ain't sure that come out right, but she would mow the yard. She's asked to mow it. No. If somebody's going to be lazy and sit on the mower, it's going to be me. It doesn't get any easier than mowing the yard, okay? But anyway, I wish that's what it meant. But it's not what it means. You know, wait on the Lord. That's what I want to talk about tonight. How do we wait on the Lord? How do we do that? Well, what I've learned is the first thing to do when we're waiting on the Lord is to pray. Well, I tell you what, when that month I was off work with all the uncertainty, even though God's word, you know, we know, be anxious for nothing. Even though all the uncertainty, you still want to solve it. You want to solve the problem in your life. I want to solve it. See, that's the problem. I want to solve it instead of allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do. But the first thing we need to do while we're waiting on the Lord is we need to pray. Yep, just take it, just talk to the Lord. We look at Hebrews 4:16, if you would, please. I love this verse, Hebrews 4:16. It's funny how I can recall all these verses now, but when you're going through the situation, where are they at then? I didn't recall them then. Unfortunately, to my shame, I did not. I was just thinking about me, my problem. But Hebrews 4:16, let me get there and then we'll back up a few verses. Hebrews 4:16, let's start in 14 and we'll go down through 16. Okay, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, and who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. See, he was there all the time for me. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And then in verse 16 it says, let us therefore. What that's saying is because of verses 14 and 15, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I had a time of need and I needed to pray. I had a time of need and I needed to pray. And that's in God's inviting me to come to his throne with my problem. While we're waiting on the Lord, don't give up on prayer. You know, I've said before a lot of times, when problems, situations, trials, events, whatever comes into our lives, there's one of two things are going to happen. We're either going to draw closer to God or we're going to fall away from God. We're not going to stay the same. If a situation comes into our lives of any magnitude, we're going to go one way or the other. How many people can you recall right now that used to sit in church, maybe even this church, but something happened in their life and they're no longer in church at all? Can you think of people like that over the years? I'm sure you can. I can. It's not hard to do. You either draw closer to God, you either draw nigh to God, or you fall away. One or the other. When a trial comes in your life, we need to pray. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Let's read verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 and 8 is really what I want to talk about, but we got to read the rest to get to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There it is right there, though, if we go back. There it is right there. Either we draw closer by prayer, or we're going to faint and we're going to fall away. To keep from fainting, we need to pray. To keep from falling away, we need to pray. That's waiting on the Lord. Now, verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Great judge. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And then verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or are we going to faint and fall by the wayside? Are we going to have faith in God when those trials come into our life, those unexpected situations that we are all going to face at some time? And just because I went through one, don't mean I'm not going to face one tomorrow again. Okay, but the things I've learned this past year, Lord willing, I will not faint, but I'll wait on the Lord, and I'll do it by praying to him. When we wait on the Lord, we need to pray. And then one more on prayer, Psalm 34:17. 34:17. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. You know, his word promises, the Bible's chock full of promises. I don't know, a little while ago at a nursing home, I preached on the promises of God. How can we stand on the promises of God if we don't know what they are? That was the gist of the nursing home message. How can you stand on, here's the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Isn't that a comforting verse when you have trial in your life? We'll cry unto the Lord. We need to pray. When we're waiting on the Lord, we need to pray. That's number one. Number two, we need to seek God. We need to seek God while we're waiting on the Lord. I'm going to hurry through these because it's already a quarter to two. Seeking after God means pursuing God with undivided devotion and wholeheartedness, heartedness, undivided devotion. It takes a special kind of focus to seek after God. We can't seek after God and try to solve a problem ourselves at the same time. That's being divided. We need to place our faith and trust in God and give him our whole heart. Jeremiah 29, chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. We need to seek after God. You know, we think we're close to God. And there was another time I preached a message at a nursing home on how close do you want to be to God? Because that's how close you can be. No matter how close we are to God tonight, every one of us in here can be closer. There ain't not one of us have arrived. We can all be closer, if that's our desire. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray. We just talked about prayer unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Not just halfway, not just, okay, Lord, if you're really there and if you're really going to help me. And no, that's not with the whole heart. And he knows that. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. One thing I learned when the Lord spoke to me about waiting on him is I needed to wait on him by prayer, and I needed to seek him more than I was already seeking him. If I thought I was seeking him enough, I wasn't. Lamentations 3:25, if you would please, Titus. Lamentations 3:25. It says right here, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Well, I tell you, when problems come into our life, a situation comes into our life where we feel it's out of control, we just need to get as close to God as we possibly can. And waiting on him means to pray, means to talk to him, and then seek after him. Go after God. Go after him. How about one more? Psalms 119:105. Do we really go after God? Do we really seek after him with our whole heart? It shouldn't be just when we have a problem or a situation or a trial in our life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we seek after God, we're going to be in his word. And he's going to, you know, a lamp, it's going to show me when I take a step here and there. And a light in my path that's going to show me the path I need to go. When I lost my job, I needed to know where to go. That's why number three is we need to read the Bible. When we're waiting on the Lord, we need to pray, we need to seek after him, and we need to be in his word. That's waiting on the Lord. Not just jumping on the couch and doing nothing. Let's go to Psalm. We're in Psalms 119, verse 18. 119, verse 18. And it says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I needed my eyes opened during that time. And I needed to get my mind off of myself and my situation and just focus on the Lord by waiting on him. Matthew 4:4, if you would, please. Matthew 4:4 is a verse that I know I get wrong a lot of times. I think most people do because of one little word here. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, that's the word, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This here proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so many times, we pick and choose what we're going to obey and not obey. But it says every word. You know, we need to get in God's word. Well, I'm out of time too, but we need to get in God's word and we need to obey it. We want God to help us, but yet we're not willing to obey everything he says, every word. Number four, I guess, real quickly. While we're waiting on the Lord, we need to trust him. We need to have faith in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We can take a look at that one real quick. We all know that one with no problem. But I tell you, it's a great couple verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thy own understanding. You know, when I was out of work, I just wanted to lean under my own understanding. Hey, I need to go to work. I need to be at work yesterday. But when we lean under our own understanding, and I was to take one of those jobs that wasn't where the Lord wanted me, it would have been a disaster. It would have been a mess. I'd have been miserable. And verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I needed someone. I didn't need someone. I needed the Lord to direct my paths. I got several more verses here, but like I said, we're out of time. Let's go to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I needed the Lord's perfect peace at that time, but my mind needed to be on him, and I needed to trust in him with my whole heart. I just wanted to share what happened to me, and you know, maybe 45 years worth of being in the same trade, and maybe I took it for granted. I'm sure I took it for granted. But we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? There might be some things the Lord wants you to learn tomorrow, or me. And he might just get us out of our comfort zone. I know I learned some things. I thought I was close to God. I wasn't as close as I thought I was. I never had a trial that rocked me quite like that one did. Whether you folks noticed it on the outside or not, that was a big one. That was a humbling experience. And you young people out here, don't chase the money. I mean, I could have had jobs. could have had a job in Cleveland that paid $55 an hour. I think I told you people this, that $55 an hour and $160 a week per diem. No, excuse me, a day. Yeah, per diem. You know, that's over $3,000 a month. I could have got me an apartment in Cleveland. Cleveland's 4 hours away. I'd have been home on the weekends. Do you think I'm going to leave them for, I don't even leave them for one day, much less a whole week. If I was chasing money, though, I mean, I'd be there. I'd have said, see ya. I'd made money hand over fist. Life's not about money. It's about the Lord. You know what? We're just passing through here. Aren't we? Aren't we just passing through? This ain't my home. I don't want to make it my home. Whatever toys I accumulate, whatever amount of money I accumulate in a bank account, it's all going to be left behind. It ain't going to do me no good one of these days. You know, I'm going to be with the Lord. Someone else can have it. I don't care. All I want to do is get to the finish line. Get to the finish line, whenever that is. You know, Lord knows. I don't. Just wait on the Lord. When those trials come in your life, wait on the Lord. You wait by praying. You wait by seeking after him. You wait by reading his word. And you wait by trusting in him. That's waiting on the Lord. It's not as easy as just waiting. You got to put some effort. You got to put some work into it while you're waiting on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be up here, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the promises in your word. Father, I just thank you for who you are. Just nothing's impossible for you. All things are possible. I thank you that you want us to come to you with every little detail, not just the things that rock our world or get us out of our comfort zone, but even the minor details, you want us to come to you with those. You tell us to cast all of our care upon you, for you careth for us. And we're so thankful and so undeserving of your love, Father, your mercy towards us, your grace that you extend to us. We're so unworthy of that free gift of salvation that only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. The benefits of just you as our Heavenly Father are overwhelming, Father. We thank you for them. Thank you that you're there and you care for us. And you're always looking out for us, Father. And forgive us when we fall short and we try to figure things out on our own. And Father, I pray that our faith will just increase as the days go by. I pray that when those trials come into our life that we'll draw nigh to you, that we'll run to you, Father, and look for your help, your guidance, your counsel. Father, we just thank you for being there for us. And I just pray, Father, that you would be with our pastor, that you would encourage him, that you'd lift him up and give him the health and strength he needs and bring him back to his place of service, Father. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brother Steve.